Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
Mattingly swings and he has a drive to deep right center. It is high, it is far, it is gone. Back to back, then a belly to belly.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back. On The Fan, we're talking Knicks, Sixers. You know, BT, I got a lot riding on this. We have a lot riding on this year. I want that pallet of Surfside. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
Somebody looked it up. Like, do you know, Zoo, maybe you know this or
how? I don't know how many. I didn't want to, you want the honest truth?
Yeah.
I don't want to sound like an idiot. I was just going, oh, pallet, that's awesome.
Me too.
What sort of pallet?
Sounds like a lot. Like, you know,
I have no idea.
But you know what a pallet is, right?
It's the big wooden thing.
Yeah, right,
of
exactly.
Course.
They
just
don't
have any cans are in the boxes on the pallet.
I know that because of my days at Home Depot. Like, oh, yeah, pallet of this, whatever, right? But do you know, Zoo, how many cases are on a pallet or how many?
I mean, we got to be talking like close to like 70 to 100.
Yeah. Somebody texted me a pallet is 100.
Cases?
Now, what's a case? A case is 12 or 24?
Well, they make 12s. I think, yeah, surfs, I think, are 12. I mean, beers, obviously, 12 and 24.
So, like, if you get a... Hoff, do you know the answer to this? There's got to be a definitive answer to a case.
They might make six packs also, which might mean there might be more.
So a case is 24, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Conventional case, yeah. There's 30s. Oh, yeah, but yeah, generally.
Surfside is technically, I believe, eight. For the ones that I've gotten from you in the past are eight.
I think he's right. I think it's eight, not six.
A pack, but a case is
24.
Right, eight times three
is because
there's three in a case.
Correct.
So then, right. So I believe 100 is on a pallet.
I mean, that's you can start a small business. Forget about drinking them. You can sell them at a discount.
You can't do that, BT. What are you out of your mind?
What?
No, come on. But I'll be drinking. Hey, they got some new product coming as well.
Oh, really?
No, you and me, dude. Surfside's on the house.
More flavors, you mean?
Yeah.
All right.
If the Knicks win this series, yes. The Fan is getting sent a pallet of Surfside. You and I are going to be loaded up for the summer.
Yeah, maybe, but it sounds like if the way you've been these last couple of days, it seems like if the Knicks win, you're going to be hung by your thumbs in Times Square.
No.
Like it's the last thing you want to see happen.
No. Don't get me wrong. I want the Knicks to win the series.
Grumpy over here.
I'm not grumpy. I'm just telling you how I see it. I know people don't want to hear it. It's just how I feel watching these two games. I don't feel encouraged by watching these two games. I want my Surfside. I want that pallet delivered here. Order my house and then I'll hand it out accordingly. But
yeah.
I'm worried. I will admit that I am a little scared of the damage that Embiid and Maxi could do. You saw it in spurts. The Knicks are fortunate that they're up two games to none. They still have to close this team out with two more wins. If they get one of these, I'll be with you and say, you know what? They're going to win this series. Mm. Now, by the way, I still think they're, like, I thought they were going to win coming in. Mm. I still think they have a good chance to win.
Get off the fence.
You're
say
right.
What you said last hour.
Yeah, based on watching these first two games, I'm more discouraged now. And I still believe the Sixers are the more, they have the two talented players. And I think eventually that will prevail. So I'm worried that the Sixers are, in fact, going to win this series. I want to win. I want the Knicks to win. I want to win the bet. But I don't feel it deep down in my core
I get it.
Right now.
Listen, you feel what you feel. I know we'll do maybe a couple of minutes on the Yankees later. Really a deep dive tomorrow.
Yeah.
But
and the draft, we get look forward to that. I'm starting to get really excited about that. I hate that it's game three with the Knicks, though.
This is an awesome week. There's and a couple of weeks. And we knew that this was coming. So, but here's the thing about, like, the Yankees. I'm going to compare it to the Knicks here. I'm less convinced, like, even if Aaron Judge goes bonkers and finds a way to remember how to be Aaron Judge, that the Yankees' offense is going to be less than what we hope for because of the other pieces I don't outside of Soto.
Right.
I don't have great faith in.
And based on the first few games, you know, Houston to Arizona, we were like,
this is sustainable, no question.
Get us to the playoffs now.
But whereas with the Knicks, even if Brunson remains in a funk, and I can't imagine he's shooting 25%, I mean, 8 for 29. I mean, that's basically 25%.
He's got to get better.
He's got to, but if he doesn't, I've got more faith in the other pieces of the Knicks to keep doing what they're doing than like some of these Yankees to step up. I think the Knicks are a better team. I know it's a weird comparison, different sport. It's not, not a perfect match, but admit this at least.
I do think the Knicks will keep doing what they're doing. I just don't think it'll be enough.
Okay, admit this, though. The Knicks are, and I know that you knew that they were tough.
Yeah.
But admit, they're even tougher than you thought. No?
I want to see them win a road game. But I never, it wasn't like I didn't think that they were.
I knew you knew that they were tough.
Like, I loved Hartenstein. That, I'll give you this. Mitchell Robinson has been much more impactful than I thought.
Yep.
I kind of dismissed him being out this regular season. I was like, yeah, well, Hartenstein is better anyway because he's more versatile offensively.
Yeah.
But Mitch is huge importance. He's proving that yet again.
More
when you
physical.
See him in
like, he's like mixing it up, hitting the floor.
His
just,
heart,
yeah.
His determination, his desire.
Yeah. Moving his feet when he's 20, you know, 15 feet away
from
the rim
Josh
on Embiid.
My issue with Hart was
I
never.
I have no issue with Josh Hart.
Yeah, my issue was never like lack of will. Like, I loved all those things. I gave him the highest compliment that you could possibly give a player is that he, to me, was worthy of wearing the number three.
Yeah.
Like, there is no, in my world.
For those
world,
who don't know, Starks is Sal's guy, so I hear you.
Yeah, and they've disrespected that number for years, starting with Dennis Scott, Stephon Marbury.
3D. Well, Marbury was,
yeah, all
I
right,
could
but
see
still,
what, yeah,
but still, nah, come
yeah,
on. Yeah. Like, there's never been a more perfect player to wear that number three than Josh Hart. My issue with him is that he can't really shoot. However, Josh Hart in this series has been shooting the ball well.
He's also become a bit of a better shooter as time has gone on.
Shooting with more confidence. So there are things that I was wrong about. I don't know if I would say that they're tougher than I thought. Hart,
how about more talented than you thought?
That could be true.
Okay, now
I got to see it be sustained. DiVincenzo would be one.
Let's focus on DiVincenzo for a little bit. You slept on him all year.
Yeah, but I still think
he slept on him all year.
Right, but he had one good game, one bad game.
But he had one great season.
Yeah.
He was so good this year.
But I like consistency. You should know that by now about me. I value consistency. DiVincenzo is a chucker who, yes, he's hit a high percentage of his threes, sure. And last night, 5 of 10 or whatever it was. And obviously, you know, he had two chances.
Couple of steals, couple of rebounds, couple of assists. He mixes it up.
I'm not going to question it. He's tough.
He is
tough.
He's got the heart. And he's an athlete.
I love all that. They have a team full of those guys.
Yep.
I just feel like that's going to reach its limit at some point. And without Brunson doing what he needs to do and has done in the regular season, this is the way that I would say it. If Brunson does what he did in the regular season, even for a game or two, the Knicks will win the series. If he does not, I do not believe the Knicks are beating the 76ers.
But that sounds nuts to me because he's done nothing close to what he's done in the regular season, and they haven't lost yet.
Correct. But
I can see if he was like a little less efficient. Right. He's been atrocious.
But if you play it out and he does nothing again for games 3 and 4, and I'm not going to try to predict it because I don't know, but based on 2 games, not looking good.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the difference in the series. If Brunson can win or carry the Knicks to a win in either game 3 or 4, the Knicks will win the series. If he does what he's done in the first 2 games, I believe the Knicks are going to get beaten both games 3 and 4 and come back here tied up at 2.
So you're telling me you don't think Maxey can have a bad game? I mean, Tyrese Maxey's been He's been all world.
Right.
And he's a really, really,
yeah, but he does
really
little things that drive
player.
Me nuts. He's done little things that has cost them games.
But he's going to have a night where he shoots 30%, 33%, like where he's off. I mean,
by the way,
Embiid,
how about
every
him?
Time Embiid hits the deck, you got to wonder if he's going to get up off the floor.
How about Maxey? Two plays last night that would sum up Maxey. You want to throw in the third where he was on the floor, you
go
know,
ahead.
And kind of just gave up the
which,
ball. But
which ones?
Two plays in particular. The first was where Deuce McBride ripped the ball from
him. Took it right from him.
That's from a Maxey perspective, that's unacceptable.
Uh-huh.
The second, final possession.
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing? What are you doing passing that ball to Embiid?
Mm-hmm.
Bro, take the shot. You're Maxey. You're the best player on the floor on this particular night. Shoot it. And he's looking to be a passer in that spot? You don't want that smoke? You're going to give it to Embiid, who was, like, startled by it. Right?
Yeah, but what about the thought is, you know, you want to go down with your best player, and I know that Maxey was better last night. Embiid was really good, too.
And not from shooting-wise. He was good, but Maxey had a better look. It was, like, last second. Like, just put it up.
Ugh.
He was being passive. I want a guy who was an assassin. Remember, that was the knock on LeBron earlier in his career.
Especially in that Celtics series.
Correct.
Yeah, passed up the shots. Yeah.
That's what Maxey did.
Yeah.
You got to take that shot. So there are things that Maxey has done that I think, while he's an all-world talented player and clearly one of the best players, if you know the second best player behind Embiid on the floor in the series, he's done things that have cost his team the game. I just don't believe, and it's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out. So far, you know, I felt this way going into game two, and I was proven wrong, right? Because I didn't think that they could do it again, play that way that they did in game one and win. And they did. And they got it took a miracle, but they did. I stand firm to what I believe in, they will not beat the 76ers if they continue playing the same way they did in games one and games two.
I was trying to think about like the last time, and I know it's first round, so you know, not that it loses starch, but I mean, this was the conference finals, the way that game ended last night. It's all-time stuff. So when was the last win that was this exhilarating for any New York team?
You know, somebody,
it's been a while.
Somebody asked about that. I think we talked about that last night. I said, while ago, is this the greatest win? It's not even close to the greatest win for me as a Knicks fan because it's game two of round two. Most improbable, most unlikely. Yeah, I think it's up there probably with the LJ four-point play. Like, I wouldn't – Allen Houston game five in Miami was the greatest win
I
remember.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
But the LJ stuff was a single sequence. What was crazy about last night was that there was multiple things that the Knicks had to do well.
It was the Reggie Miller game in reverse.
Yeah.
In favor of the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, Philly missed a free throw. Obviously, OG had to stick his. You had to get steals. You had to bury the three. You had to get the offensive rebound. Insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
And Hartenstein, the kid. I know your boy DiVincenzo hit the shot.
Yep.
But Hartenstein, to me, made the play of the game with that rebound.
And me and Sal were talking during the break. That was about, and this happened two or three other times last night, where the Knicks were so physically more aggressive, where one more second, that's a jump ball. That whistle's blowing. Like, that generally doesn't extend much more than it did. Refs are going to blow the whistle, jump it up. So Hartenstein, Deuce, as you mentioned earlier with Maxey, it's the Knicks' will is just apparently much more stronger.
Correct.
It's stronger right now.
And I love that. It's not David versus Goliath.
No.
It is heart and will versus supreme talent. Which one will win out? I'm not saying the Knicks don't have talent.
Yeah.
They don't have the two best players on the floor.
They don't.
It is clearly Embiid, even a hobbled Embiid and Maxey. So it is talent, superstars in the NBA versus heart, will, determination, passion.
Intelligence. Don't leave out intelligence.
Right.
That's
no,
really important to me.
Much
intelligence.
Right. All those little things that we love.
Oh, man.
I want to see the game played the right way. Which one will prevail in this best of seven game series?
Knicks, because I don't think when you look at the top two, and it's right now, again, it's undeniable.
Yeah.
The Knicks are, their rotation's been tight. Obviously, thank God, Alec Burks, we don't see him. We won't unless it's blowout or an injury, God forbid. Knicks are playing eight right now, so I'll take strength in numbers 1 through 8, even with Brunson playing like a G League player right now, because when you get, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and once you get past 2 for Philly, advantage Knicks.
Yeah, and
that's
so,
not going to change.
So far through two games, it's been
Knicks roster's better.
It's been proven to be the Knicks. AJ is in Eastchester. What's up, AJ?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
All right.
Listen, guys, here's where I'm at with the Knicks. Sal, this has nothing to do with luck, really, honestly. BT, you nailed it before. This team just knows how to win. They figure out how to win. And since Julius Randle went down earlier on in the season, they had to adjust. Brunson took over. And towards the end of the season, we started to become fixated on Brunson's numbers. at the end of the day, he's still facilitating a game, whether or not he puts up 24 points or 40 points. The other team is rallying around him, and obviously Josh Hart, DiVincenzo, the energy on this team is unmatchable. They've been playing this style of basketball since the All-Star break. They had to figure out how to win these playoff-style games early when Julius went down. Mm-hmm. So they're primed and ready for games like this. So luck has nothing to do with this,
well,
really.
Well, I'm half with you, AJ. You're right, but I do think they've been a little fortunate here. And the ultimate question, at least for me, is going to be, can this be sustained? Not that they can't play like that, like their energy. I'm talking about the success. Can the success, just based off of that, be sustained throughout the best of seven? I have my doubts about it.
Right, but the other thing we have to remember, too, is that this is not a natural 2-7 matchup. We're playing against the 2-seed. If Embiid doesn't go down, they're the 2-seed in this. So these games are not supposed to be easy. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to fight and grind these games out. This is the result of it. We're just a much better, deeper team. Yes, they have the two best players on the court, but they're not as deep as us. They can't handle our energy. You saw it yesterday. These guys were getting frustrated. Embiid got teed up. Embiid was getting affected by the crowd. Everything was happening, and it was all too much.
Yeah, and AJ, by the way, it's the exact opposite. This was early in the game, and I didn't think it was a big deal. Of course, you know, everybody's soft, and they go and they review it like you have to. But the opposite, remember when Embiid or when Hart ran into Embiid? I think that was the first quarter. It was very early in the game. And it was incidental.
A little shove. Yeah, I thought Embiid did give him a little.
Yeah, but did you see Josh Hart's reaction? Like, good. Don't. He's like, don't even review it. Let's go. Let's play. Whereas the Sixers are just chirping, looking for the whistle. Nick Nurse looks like a mental mess out there. Like, he's so nervous. Why don't you get another gold chain, Nick?
He does look sloppy out there, I thought, too.
Who is this guy?
Yeah.
I know who he is. He obviously won a championship with Toronto. But there's something about Nick Nurse that bothers me, because he really, that press conference was weak last night. And to me, that is an indictment on the heart of the Sixers. When your leader, and he's supposed to be, I know it's Embiid, but the leader in terms of the coach is reaching for excuses, that tells me all I need to know.
Yeah, EJ said something there that made something in my mind. I wanted to answer it, and I forgot what it was. But I had this written down. The Sixers need to play harder and smarter. If they do, now, do they have it in them? Can they be smarter? Can they play harder? I'm assuming at home they're going to, and then they will be even more dangerous here. I give the Knicks a ton of credit for playing hard, and I don't think that that's going away anytime soon, but will it carry over on the road against a more talented team? Here's what I wanted to say.
Go for it.
And not even more talented team, but the two players. And I'm not asking this as rhetorical or in any way to kind of, you know, pin you in a corner. I'm asking this legitimately.
Okay.
When was the last time we could say, or that it actually happened, that a team in the NBA won a series without having the two best players on the floor? You see what I'm saying? Like, the two best players by far clearly are Embiid and Maxey. It's not even close, because the way Brunson is playing. And even if he is healthy, you could still argue even if Brunson was still being productive, you could still argue Maxey and Embiid are the more talented players. Although if Brunson was playing at his level, you know, whatever. But point is, right now, two most talented players on the floor by far are on the Philadelphia 76ers.
Talented or productive? Because
I know what you're saying. No, talented.
Do you mean the perception coming into the said series, or the way it actually played out? Because it could be a different answer.
I think
answer.
Even right now, well, if I were to ask you who are the two best players so far in this series.
It's the easiest answer in the world. It's Embiid and Maxey.
Correct. So that's my point.
But then now, who's the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth best player?
No, but
think
right,
about that.
No, I know, but I'm asking.
You got Josh Hart, DiVincenzo, you got Bogey from game one. Go ahead.
If you go back in NBA history, and again, you can't do this off the top of our head, but like, give me the teams that have beaten the opponent that had the two best players by far in the series. It just doesn't work like that.
It generally doesn't. I'd probably go back to something with those Pistons, because I think that's the team that does contradict most NBA history.
And even those teams, like, who did they beat that had the two big stars?
They beat the Celtics, right? Then they beat the Antoine and Pierce, even though I don't know if Antoine Walker was quite like that. I'd have to double check and see who they beat.
Right,
exactly.
You get the point.
It's conventional thinking that generally is applied to the history of the NBA.
Correct.
But guess what? These Knicks, They defy history.
Yeah, there you
That's
go.
Why
they
we
are.
Love them. So
they
far, are. They are, and they've done it all year, really.
BT and Sal on the Fan will come back. Continue with your calls on the other side. We'll get into the Zach Wilson stuff.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Off a little bit later on as well. Plenty to get to here. BT and Sal on The Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Ball game over. A perfect game. A perfect game for David Cohn.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan. Your boy, BT, we've been doing a lot of Knicks, of course, as we'll continue to do so, and we'll reset coming up at 12 o'clock. Anything you might have missed, by the way, check out the free Odyssey app. Started the show talking about the Knicks, basically been doing Knicks ever since. But and I do want to get into the Rangers at some point. We'll do more of the baseball tomorrow and obviously look ahead to the NFL draft, which I'm starting to get really excited about now as we're just days away here. But on that topic, your boy Zach finally was traded. And yeah. I'd love to get your thoughts here in a second. I personally was shocked that they were able to get even move up. Like, think about it. They moved up around to get rid of Zach Wilson, which is incredible, where we thought they were just going to cut him and get nothing for it. But the end of an era, sadly, that Zach Wilson is no more a New York Jet.
Yeah, the ironic thing is I actually think I nailed it to the T, like what the Jets would have to do to actually trade him. Remember I said like a week or so ago that they would have to attach like a sixth round or something to incentivize. Like, I just thought somebody would give up, you know, a seventh round pick, whatever it is.
So it's Zach and a seven.
Or Zach and a six or Zach and a seven.
So I thought they were getting back to
some
six.
Sort of. Yeah. Yes, they're getting back a six.
So they Zach the Jets, and a seven and they split the money.
Yep, and the Jets attached a very, very late pick going to Denver. Listen, I wish the kid well. It didn't work out for a multitude of reasons. He was a mess. The franchise was a mess. I really think the beginning of the end was with those stupid Mike White t-shirts. I really do. Now, I'm not saying that if that didn't happen or if Saleh intervened and said, no, guys, this is probably not the best look for morale of our young, precocious quarterback who we're trying to build around, take him off, that it would change anything. It just was never going to work here, again, for a multitude of reasons. But, you know,
how about the fact that he goes with Sean Payton in Denver?
Yeah, and their quarterback room is very weird
isn't
right now.
Telling,
they don't have
though,
anybody.
Isn't it telling that arguably one of the great offensive minds,
yeah,
certainly currently, but you look at what Sean Payton has done, you know, won a Super Bowl, you look at all the success he had in New Orleans,
mm-hmm,
he is the one who said, you know what, I'll take a flyer on
I'll
Zach
kick
Wilson.
The tires on him. You know, generally it goes that way. People who are great at their craft generally have an arrogance, and it's not a bad thing. I mean, you kind of need this, an ego and arrogance that they can fix whatever didn't work elsewhere. And Sean Payton's looking at that arm talent, the off-platform stuff, you know, a little bit of a rehabilitation period, get his head right, maybe coach him differently,
get him out of New York.
Conceptually. Yeah, the concepts that they run schematically, get him out of New York. It would not surprise me if we're sitting there watching the Jets, watching the Giants, watching the Red Zone at some point this year.
Did they play Denver this year?
They played them 2 years in a row. Mm. I can't imagine it's three. I don't think so, but off the top of my head, I don't believe so. Don't hold me to it.
I'd love to see that.
That'd be great. It'd be a nice, easy Jets win right now. I just think at some point we're going to see a Zach highlight flash up, social media.
Jet getaway, you go see, see Zach Wilson starting for the Broncos.
If you're going to London, I'll tell you that. Getting some...
you have the opponents? Are you definitely
going? I got some stuff. I just can't go with it yet.
Okay.
But it could be fun. Yeah, and I wish Zach well. I think he's a good kid.
Hey, man, football season be here before you know it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we're looking forward to the draft. Yeah, me too. And I think the Jets screwed this up more than Zach Wilson. I know there are a lot of people who said Zach Wilson sucks.
Me too.
We are in agreement of that. The Jets never had a chance. I would have liked to have seen if he had a real chance what he could have done. Maybe it would have been on him. And I'm not saying he was great because he certainly wasn't, but I think the Jets butchered that from day one. All right, back to the Knicks. 877-337-6666. BT and Sal on the Fan. Scott is in Marlboro, New Jersey. What's up, Scott?
Hey, what's going on, boys? I think you're off on the Maxey thing. You look at Doncic and Kyrie are better than any two on the Clippers, correct?
Say that again?
Yeah, probably. Yes, I would say. Doncic and Kyrie. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're down
one.
You know, they're down one. But you guys are talking about Maxey being, he's not Donovan Mitchell. He's a good player. Don't get me wrong.
He's a fantastic player.
He's a star in the league.
He's not a fantastic player.
He's not a fantastic player. He's a very good player. He's not a superstar.
We didn't say superstar.
Yeah, he is a superstar. I mean, Maxey is.
He's not a superstar.
Yeah, he is.
No, he's not. How is he a superstar? You're down 0-2. Superstars don't let that happen.
Oh, that's not true. I mean, I think you're old. I think you're being
Scott, if that's your barometer, then what's Jalen Brunson's excuse? Is he a superstar? Well,
the Knicks are
Is Jalen Brunson a superstar?
Yes, Jalen Brunson's a superstar.
Okay, and what has he done in this series?
They're up 2-0.
Goodbye, Scott.
Scott,
you want to have a conversation? Come on.
You're being very, very literal here. I mean, Tyrese Maxey is 40% for his career behind the arc. Averaged 26 points a game this year.
Watch him play for a second.
Look at how easily he gets to the rim against the Knicks, who are really well-principled.
He's got elite-level talent.
He's a stud.
He's already an all-star. You'd kill to have a player like that.
Yeah, no,
he's not a superstar. But yet Brunson is, and I'm not saying Brunson's not, but Brunson has done nothing so far in this series. He's been a shell of himself. I'm not knocking Brunson. Credit the Sixers a little bit, but you can't dismiss Maxey. And by the way, your comparison with the Mavericks versus the Clippers is a little different story because the Clippers have superstars of their own.
They're older. You know, Harden's older. Kawhi's been banged up.
Still, they're all-time superstars. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about definitively the two best players by far. Like, the Knicks' best player is not doing anything. Who's been the Knicks' best player so far in this series?
Well, let me think. That's a tough one because game one, DiVincenzo didn't even play in the fourth quarter. Deuce was awesome. Mm-hmm. Bogey was very influential. Their best player, Josh Hart's been the best player so far.
Yeah.
Josh.
Yeah, Josh Hart. So think about what we're saying here. Josh Hart has been the Knicks' best player, or at least most consistent player, through the first two games because one night has been Deuce McBride. You know, and look, you could argue Mitchell Robinson certainly has been consistent as well, but Josh Hart has been the Knicks' best player. Come on. This is Josh Hart we're talking about. I'm not trying to disrespect Josh Hart. I love him, but he can't be the best player on a team that's going to beat a team in a best of seven with two legitimate superstars. At least I don't think that's the case. Paris is calling from Hoboken. What's up, Paris?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How we doing?
What's up?
What's happening, buddy?
First of all, Maxey, I agree with you. Kid's a superstar. He's going to have a long career. Embiid on one leg, still killing us. But I tell you what, I agree with a little bit of what you're saying, Sal. But you got to think, they're giving us their best right now. And we haven't even seen a glimpse of what we saw what Brunson did in the regular season.
Well, do you really think
players like Deuce McBride?
You think BT? We've seen the Sixers' best.
I think you their best. No,
right.
I
agree. So I would disagree there with you, Paris. But go ahead.
Really, from the role players, yeah. I mean.
Well, what I'm saying is, I think our role players are going to outplay their role players every single night.
So do I.
In this series.
And by the way, Paris, I'll let you finish. Not only do I anticipate that trend continues, like, it's one thing to outplay them, it's another thing to overwhelm them. I mean, Buddy Hield is terrified to take the ball to the rim. Reed's made a few, odd plays where somehow the ball's got it, but he didn't even play big minutes. And Batum is what he is. I mean, their bench stinks.
Yeah, they're brutal.
It's terrible.
And I also think, too, we haven't even seen the best of Dante. And our role players, if we show up in Philly, we could do some damage because they can't stick with us on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, and thank you for the call, Paris. The Knicks need Jalen Brunson to get going. I'm actually stunned that the Knicks, now again, they're within a hair of being 1-1, and it feels totally different here. So I'm going to ignore the result. While I enjoy the result, while it's a great result, I'm going to ignore that and look at it and say it should be 1-1. And that makes the Sixers more dangerous to me. I'm shocked that the Knicks have been able to win two games without Brunson doing what I felt like he needed to do, what he did in the regular season, to the point that the Knicks are the number two seed. If he does not do that on the road, it's going to get ugly. Like, I could see the Knicks getting trounced in game three or game four or maybe both if Brunson does not play at a high level of efficiency.
Here's one thing that we agree on. And it's funny, to start the show, I said, you know, whether it's game three, whether it's game four, if there's a game five, I need Sal next to me watching the game on the same TV. So I want to make sure that we're watching the same series, right? Because we see things very differently. Right. Going back to yesterday's show, fireworks, yelling at each other, it was awesome. But I think that I do agree with you, even though I don't know that you've overtly said this, but I think that you feel this, and you might be right. I don't necessarily, there's a part of me that expects Brunson to just become Brunson again, but the matchup is a bad one for him. So I don't think that he comes out
him.
Game three and drops 39 and shoots, you know, 17 for 26. I think he might struggle the rest of the way. I would agree with you on that. Where I think that you and I really disagree is that I think the Knicks have enough horses secondarily to overcome that again and again and again.
And yeah, and I don't, and I feel like we might feel differently when we see it take place in their house. Now, who knows?
Listen.
And on that note, by the way, and I'm not trying to knock Jalen Brunson. I do love him. Maybe more so than any other player in a very long time, especially to wear a Knicks uniform. What other superstar could we say? And I could be missing some. Oh, well, it's a bad matchup for him. Like, superstars are...
You're not going to like my answer.
Don't even say Patrick Ewing. Patrick Ewing.
Hakeem was not a good matchup for Patrick back in 94. Is the reason why Patrick shot 37%. There's a reason.
But you know what I'm saying?
Like, I do know
generally
what you're saying.
Superstars
they
are
They overcome
immune.
Every matchup.
Yeah.
Well, but don't you think that that's part of the reason why some people are a little slow to stamp Jalen Brunson an absolute superstar rather than just a star?
I do.
There's merit there. That's fine. I mean, we're in the process of getting the answers. He's just entering the prime of his career. Had some huge playoff games a year ago. You know, had one or two where, like, carried him this year. Going to get MVP votes. He's been atrocious the first two. His team's won. You know, let's see where it's at. But, like, if the Knicks ever... I mean, there's two scripts here. If the Knicks somehow choke this away, and if they lose the series at this point, it's choke job. They gagged. And they won't, but it would be considered that. And he doesn't appreciably improve. You can't call him a superstar. At that point, even those of us who believe that he is, we're going to have to tap the brakes. But if they win and he plays poorly, you can still wonder if he's truly a top-level superstar. But I think it's less important to the Knicks because of what they have.
Okay.
You know, but I know I've said that a lot. Yep. It's a little repetitive. Their secondary piece is enough, and they've done this all season.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Happened. You talked about it on The Fan.
3-2. Swung on. A pop foul back here.
Ow! 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 It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan. Knicks take a 2-0 lead after an improbable, thrilling victory last night over the Semis Sixers. Game 3 Thursday night. Game 2 at the world's most famous tonight for the New York Rangers, BT. I'll be on hand. Hoff and I are going. We got hooked up with some tickets. We had to pay, but we're going. You know, Mitch in Fort Lee came through with some tickets.
Oh, did he?
He goes, ask BT. I go, dude.
BT has no interest in
going. He wants no part of it. I go, you get Knicks tickets. I'll let BT know, and we'll probably be there together if you get some Knicks tickets. Yeah. So Rangers, I was like, let's see. Maybe Hoff wants to go, so we're going to go.
That's why he's got his jersey on. Is that the Gravesy?
That is his Gravesy.
Number nine.
And a boy.
Not the San Jose Sharks jersey, but the Rangers jersey. Yeah.
Garland will be rocking, I'm sure. Ugh. So I got to tell you an embarrassing story.
They're going to mop the floor with them tonight. Go ahead. Yeah, what happened?
I hope so. Not going. You don't want to go to a bad game. Game one, right? I'm home Sunday afternoon watching. 3 o'clock start.
Yep.
Watch the first period. Nothing much happened.
Mm-hmm.
First intermission, I'm like laying on the couch and I'm...
He's still moving in. You're doing some chores.
We're doing a lot of work. I put together a cabinet piece to put some stuff. Like, that's what I did Saturday, Sunday. But like, I'm tired. So I'm like, let me just like take maybe a little nap or close my eyes. It started, you just doze or whatever. And I'm like, I'll wake up because once second period gets going... I'm going to hear naturally the sounds of the game. All right, back here for the second period, Rangers and Cavs. You just naturally wake up out of it. Dude, I wake up maybe a half hour later, and I look at the screen, and I see a stream play of Doc McStuffin. And I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Sammy took over?
She must have, on like whatever iPad or phone she was watching stuff, switched it to the TV. Therefore, I didn't wake up because it was like a silent stream of Doc McStuffin. I'm like, what the hell's going on? I put the game back on. It's 3-1 Rangers.
And you missed everything? They scored in 2 minutes.
That's
they scored
it.
Them all,
I
right?
I missed all of it. I missed the Rempe goal. I fell asleep.
I don't know if you deserve to go tonight,
exactly.
Quite frankly, buddy.
So I'm thinking to myself, now you know how we look for saying, you're exactly right. I'm like, oh my God, how did this happen? I fell asleep during a Ranger playoff game. You know how you look for symmetry between, the Knicks and Rangers 30 years ago? And, Knicks and Rangers, both high seeds, 93-94.
Oh, yeah.
Fast forward 30 years, OJ being in the news for one thing or another 30 years. Well, I was like, when the hell? I'm like, what's wrong with me? I've never fallen asleep during a Ranger playoff game. And then it hit me. 1994, Stanley Cup Finals. I remember waking up to Greg Adams scoring the overtime winner for the Canucks.
Vancouver.
And the reason why I was out, I had the chicken pox. I actually had to miss baseball games. It was the one year I played ninth grade, which was, I guess, JV?
It depends. It could be freshman, could be JV.
It was JV because our school went 10, 11, 12.
Oh, gotcha.
So we were 7, 8, 9.
Okay.
Well, like, I played on school. I had to miss games because of the chicken pox.
Chicken. Did you have them bad?
I did.
Chicken pox.
Yeah. So, I remember, being passed out, and I woke up. Greg Adams scored that game winner.
Yeah.
But that's the last time, so a little more symmetry. But how about that, dude? I fell asleep during that. I mean, what's going on? This is, during a Ranger playoff game?
Now, this was on Sunday.
Yes.
Okay. We were texting a little bit on Sunday about the Knicks. And to be fair, Sal's, even in our exchange on text, and I completely disagree.
You were like, awesome game or something?
Yeah, yeah. What he's saying on the air is basically what he was texting, right? Well, maybe the energy that you're putting forth into these Knicks, the wrong way, is depriving you of the energy needed to stay up to watch the Rangers.
I'm not putting bad, especially after game one. Will you stop with the bad energy? I want the Knicks
but
to win this series.
Yesterday, you got on my last nerve. Yesterday, we went at it. I mean, it was ridiculous what you were doing yesterday.
What do you mean what
they played
was
a horrible game. Meanwhile, they're up plus 23 in rebounds and shoot almost 50% from behind the arc. They played horrible.
Now, so I will say that, and going back and watching that and thinking about the show afterwards.
What, the clip?
Well, yeah, I do think sometimes, though, I say things that you take literally. Like, when I say Anunoby stinks, I don't mean literally he stinks.
What am I supposed to do?
Well, what I mean is offensively, he's not what he needs to be. Like, forget about defense. We're talking about offensively. Yeah. Offensively, he's not a number two guy. And he's only a number three if Randall is a number two and he sit there on the wing and knock down a three. So that's where I said it. And when I said the Knicks played horribly, it means in comparison to how either I expected them to play or what they did in the regular season.
Yep, yep.
So you're right. Like, did they play great on the board? Sure. Was the energy and effort there? Yeah, but I didn't think they played a good game. Matter of fact, like, I was just out in the newsroom with Gallo, who's a big... What?
I'm going to play it after. I'm going to play it.
Yeah, well...
You know, the little...
Go ahead. You can play from yesterday.
You sure?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, finish your thought.
I'm just saying, like, when you say they played horrible, like, we use those words for effect or not literally.
Yeah, but you...
But in comparison, they're lucky to win.
I'm a listener. See, that's one thing that you... I listen.
Yeah, but
I do that with my wife, too. Like, I listen to everything that's said so I can spin it back on you.
I don't listen to anything she says, my wife. What was that? She goes literally today, you got to get your ears checked. You're 44, but it's ridiculous. You don't hear anything. I was like, no, honey, I hear what I want to hear.
It's called selective hearing. Yeah, exactly. Usually it's the eyes.
Just kidding.
All right, you ready? So this was yesterday. This has over 3,000 likes and how many? Almost 650 comments, which on Instagram for the FAN stuff's a lot, right? Okay, so let me rewind. Okay.
Knicks fans are delusional. The team played a horrible game. You're lucky to escape with a win.
Yeah, that's where you're wrong.
Yeah,
that's
I don't
where,
think it's sustainable.
That's different. To say that the Knicks played a horrible game is ridiculous. That's just not correct.
Right.
And it's not even close to being true. I mean. When you out-rebound somebody by 22, how are you playing a horrible game?
I'm already turning red.
46% from three, how are you playing a horrible game? When you have fewer turnovers than you had in the regular season, how are you playing a horrible game?
Because
when you get to the line more than the opposition, which means you're tougher than the opposition, and oh yeah, by the way, shoot almost 85% from the stripe, how are you playing a horrible game?
Because
that's not true.
They were only... It is. I thought they
played two different games.
Had it Brunson. Maybe.
I mean, you can focus on Brunson the rest of the day.
He's the only guy they have,
and
BD.
They won.
You told me about DiVincenzo. Where was he?
And they
You've been talking about DiVincenzo for months. DiVincenzo. You're dismissing DiVincenzo. He's so good, he couldn't even get on the floor in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and
DiVincenzo.
That is part of the... Now, obviously, there's a lot more to it, our conversation from yesterday.
Yeah, and I think you still check it out. You know how digital likes to snap it up and trim it up and snip it up to their liking?
But to me, the Knicks have not played too... Now, they played hard. They played with effort. They played with energy. They played passionately. They played to the final whistle. Like, there's not a knock in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think the Knicks have played a crisp, clean, you know, well-played basketball game in the first two. By the way, neither of the Sixers, and I think the Sixers stink. I don't think either of these two teams are really any good. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. I expect more. But the Knicks' heart, energy, smarts, those have been, you know, the reasons why, and a little bit of luck, that's been the reasons why they won these first two games.
You think Philly's taking us for granted, so they're down there wallowing in their 0-2 deficit. You think that they're sitting there, once they come out of their, you know, shock, and they're a little cave and maybe face the reality of the situation, they will transform themselves because Philly fans are resilient. They're tough and they're gritty like us. So they eventually, maybe by Spike show today, they'll get into that, Embiid's right. We are going to win the series. Do you think that they actually think that they're going to win the series?
I think some are beaten down, but I tend to side with Embiid. And I feel like if the Knicks did what the Sixers have done through the first two games, right, and we were in the opposite spot, we'd be railing the Knicks for being down 0-2. How the hell could you not win at least one of these games? It's unacceptable. You got to split the series there. You know, go get a win. You should have stolen a win. But yet I'd be feeling good about my chances moving forward based on what happened in those first two games outside of the result. That's how I would approach it.
I feel the opposite. I really, because I'd be sitting there saying, let's say Randall was here. Randall's healthy. Randall's pumping in 32 a night.
Yeah.
Brunson's pumping in 28, 31, 32 a night. And the Knicks are in the same 0-2 deficit that Philly is in. And the other numbers are favoring Philly, like the rebounds and the turnovers and the steal and the hustle board, which clearly is in favor of the Knicks. I'd be gravely concerned. I would be sitting here saying this team is just... They want it more.
Right, but that's something that could be changed.
I know. I think that shots and statistics can be changed. I don't know if you can come out for the first 4 or 5 minutes of the next game more focused, but the Knicks, like who the Knicks are, like with more urgency. Hey, we just left two games on the table. You come out almost like a football mentality, even though the Phillies, Philadelphia started well the first two games. I don't think that Philly will be able to take that attitude and that additional focus and energy and distaste for losing and apply that over the course of 48 minutes because that's not who they are. This, like the Knicks don't need to deviate from their personality to compete. Philly's got to ratchet things up to a place that they don't generally live at. The Knicks live at this volume.
Right, but for me, it's easier to get a team. Now, again, could they do it? Who the hell knows? I don't know what they have in their heart so far. We haven't seen in the first two games, but maybe we see different fight at home. To me, it's easier to turn up the intensity, the energy, the heart, the toughness than it is to find the talent that there is a big gap between the Knicks and Sixers. We'll reset, hit you with the crown topic of the day. You guessed it, Knicks, Sixers. We'll do that coming back on the other side. Get to your calls as well at 877-337-6666. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.